the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
One of the great things is in the New Testament is the book of Romans. And one of the great things about Romans is it's made of 16 chapters, and each one is just better than the previous one, it seems like. It is such a rich book. And we are in Romans chapter 4. We invite you to turn there. This is Alex McFarland along with Bert Harper, Exploring the Word. We look at Scripture, God's Word, and then later on we take your calls and Bible questions. Bert, I love Romans 3 because it's followed by Romans 4. And I love Romans 4 and it's followed by Romans 5. And I know it might sound like I'm exaggerating, but I'm really not. This is such a powerful book of God's Word, filled with the gospel, filled with profound truths that I believe every generation needs to hear.
You could not be more right, Alex. I was studying chapter 5, and I said, man, I can't wait to get there. And then I went back, and I said, okay, there's some more verses in chapter 4 that we need to cover. And so we're going to do that today. And so we covered 16, but because of how it breaks up, you need chapter 16 or verse 16 to be included in what we'll look at today. And Alex, it says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace. It would not be faith if it was works, you know, and it would not be grace if it was law. So it is grace and faith working together. Now, honestly, that gripped me today when I saw that in verse 16. And you're saved by grace through faith, and that is God. It's God laying it out, man trusting God, and God who has already done the work. We receive that, and it's such a blessing. Notice what it says. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also of those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. When I read verse 16, I just want to tell you, this one passage or verse by itself is so powerful. That we see, and I love that, all, sure to all the seed. No one is excluded if you, by faith, will come to Jesus Christ. Turning away from your way and your sin, turning to God through Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again, and by faith, ask him to forgive you and come into your life as Lord. Alex, it's a whole different matter after that happens, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And, you know, folks, if you're new to Exploring the Word, I'm the one who slows us down. You know, I tend to, you know, go long and talk too much. And I know that very often there's passages that we could probably go through a little more quickly. And but there's so much rich content here. And in Romans 4, let's just parse out a little bit of this. You mentioned, you know, Abraham, the faith of Abraham, verse 16, who is the father of us all. In other words, if you're a believer in the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, you are very Abrahamic because Abraham believed by faith, and he is the father of the faithful, they sometimes say. Now, verse 17 goes back to Genesis 12. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. And we think about Abraham as the patriarch of the Jewish people, and of course that is true. But I think about this, Bert, the beautiful tapestry that is the church the world over. I've known many American Christians. I've known many European Christians. I've known a lot of African and Zambian Christians. I've known a lot of South American Christians. And the beautiful mosaic of humanity that follows the Savior, Jesus. Every kindred, tongue, tribe, nation, every skin, pigmentation, every culture that believes in Jesus. We are family. And we are the family members of Abraham, aren't we?
We really are, Alex. And when you say that, can you imagine heaven? And I do believe the church at Antioch, you know, that sent out Barnabas and Paul. When you look at those men who were the leaders there in teaching them, and you see their names and you see from where they're from, you catch that early glimpse of the church at Antioch. And, you know, it got to Jerusalem what all God was doing there, and they sent up Barnabas to check it out. And Barnabas, man, he saw the real faith that they had in this, and I'm going to use your word, tapestry of individuals mm-hmm. who come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And it is a beautiful picture. And Revelation, in several places, it talks about all the kindred, tongue, nation, tribe, the whole the world. And here it is. We see it in Abraham. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those who things do not exist as though they did. Now, verse 17, the latter part, brings up another thought, and it leads to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God gave Abraham the promise that he was going to be a great nation several years before Isaac would be born.
And, that's true.
And he was past what he thought, far as him producing children, far as his age, he was dead. His wife, Sarah, far as her ability to bear children, she, you know, dead when I say ability. And yet God fulfilled that promise. And when he gets over to the latter part, and I am jumping ahead because I want folks to anticipate this. Anticipation is half of the journey when you know you've read the back of the book first. But anyway, when it comes over to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, I just want to tell you, it's a beautiful picture of what God can do, not only there, but let's say what he does to us. He brings us from spiritual death to spiritual life. He takes us out of spiritual darkness into spiritual light. What a difference it makes in Jesus Christ in our lives. And I do believe when he introduces this in verse 17, it's a beautiful picture of what God has done, will do for us as well.
Amen. Well said. Hey, by the way, I just want to point out that, you know, really the church is the place of true diversity. Now, the word diversity is usually a pretty negative connotation of a word, and I get it. But the secular world, they want an artificial forced diversity and equity, and they are relativistic. They deny truth. And it's like there is no truth, there is no objective moral reality, and we're all just diverse, and every opinion is equally valid. And of course, that's very false, and that's not the way to achieve unity at all. And the secular world doesn't like Christianity because we are on the narrow path. There's one real truth, God's Word. There's one Savior, God's Son, Jesus Christ. And yet, I think about this. You know, Revelation 7, verse 9, John says, I saw a great multitude that no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, that stood before the throne of the Lamb clothed with white, and the people, you know, clothed in his righteousness, crying with a loud voice, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and the Lamb. And so let me just say this, real diversity, where the human race is elevated and even in Jesus one day glorified and perfected, this gospel message that the secular world so often despises, that is really the true truth to the unification of the human race that is now broken and wounded by sin and deeply divided.
Amen. And again, I think it's a cliche, but I'm going to use it because it does illustrate what you just said. The land is level at the foot of the cross. In other words, everybody, no matter what kindred tongue, no matter male or female, no matter the pigment of your skin, no matter the age you might be, wow, what a Savior that we have who can change lives and set you straight in a path that leads to life. And a matter of fact, let me see. I think Jesus said it wasn't just life, but it was an abundant life, Alex.
Amen. And John 10:10.
That's exactly what you have. And again, in verse 18, it says, who contrary to hope in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. That's in Genesis 15:5. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. This is, again, taken apart from verse 17. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And listen to verse 20, and then I want you to take it away. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I want to share with you, faith in God, faith will lead to God's glory. That is always the truth. When you, I've seen people, well, we talk about it. We had someone that was saved the other day here on the program, and then we got text, we got emails saying, praise the Lord, we're praying for Michelle. We want her to know that we're thankful that God intervened, and it was all, and they would say, all to the glory of God. So Amen. Faith leads to that glory. No wonder he honors Abraham, but also the seed of Abraham that is his and God's by faith. That's what Amen. You get in chapter the latter part of chapter 4.
Well, and I don't mean to go back, but in verse 17, really the summation of everything that God has been up to. The late, great Harold Wilmington, H.L. Wilmington, he said everything that God has done and is doing could be put under one of two categories: God's great work of creation, God's great work of redemption.
Yes.
And as we know, God's great work of creation was completed in 6 days, and God rested on the seventh. And then everything with God's great plan of redemption or salvation. Well, verse 17 says that God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, that is a reference to what's called ex nihilo creation. It's Latin for out of nothing. See, God created this whole universe out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. Isn't that something? And that's why I love the Genesis 1 and 2. You know, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be planets and heavenly bodies, and they were there. And then, Bert, God quickens the dead. In other words, he can make alive that which was dead. He can make saved that which was fallen and lost. So not only redemption, but creation itself is referenced there in verse 17. And I wanted to point out this also, that, do you know, in a way, Romans 4, 20 and 21 kind of sound a little bit like Job, and I'll tell you in a minute. But Abraham, you know, there was these promises. You're going to have a son, Isaac, and then go on Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. But Abraham believed God. When we come back, let's talk about this further.
We will, and thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio Network. And we'll be back with more of Romans chapter 4 and then into chapter 5 today. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why Everyday Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds.
babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here, and we're hoping you will join us. We're finishing up chapter 4 of Romans, about to get into chapter 5. But before we do, there's something really good happening tonight. You can find it at, you can go to AFA at Home, and you can find it, AFA at Home, and you'll find out episode 7, The Future of Education in America. You can find it at 6 p.m. tonight, May the 15th. That is today. And you're looking at Abraham Hamilton III. You're looking at Dr. Jameson Taylor, who is a part of the American Family Association, and others. And they'll be discussing about the future of education in America. That's tonight at 6 p.m. Central Time, Alex, at AFA.net. You can stream it, or you can go to AFA at Home.
Yeah. There's a trailer that people can watch at stream.afa.net, S-T-R-E-A-M, stream at fa.net. And Bert, that is so important. I encourage people to view that tonight because, yeah, as goes the classroom, so goes the nation, it's been said. So the future of education in America, that's sounds like a really, really good program tonight.
It is. AFA at Home has been producing these. And again, so much goes on. The studios here, the radio, the journal, so much goes into AFA. And AFR is a part of that, you know, and we're so thankful for what God is doing and using this ministry to touch lives and equip and activate people as they inform them about what's taking place.
Amen. Amen. You know, before we resume Romans 4, 20 and 21, I'm going to read an Old Testament verse from the book of Job. Job in 19, verse 25, and this is some of the oldest part of the Bible, but Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Job had incredible faith. And by the way, I mean, this is centuries before the birth of Christ. And yet Job seemed, by God's revelation, to understand the resurrection, the end of time, the last day, a Savior, a Redeemer who had power over death. My Redeemer liveth, and my eyes will behold him, yes, him, and not another, the real Jesus. Now, that strong faith, you know, responding to the truth you've been given, that faith of Job, and folks, yes, you'll see Job in heaven. I love what it says about Abraham here in Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, before we get to verse 22, Bert, let's just reflect on this a little bit. I have to confess that I've probably staggered at some of God's promises. I'm just going to say this. 25 years ago, when I felt God was calling me to rent the local Coliseum and have a youth worldview conference, and Bert, I prayed about it, and I did it. But I was terrified. And I look back at how I was just so fearful And yet God provided, and we had 8,000 teenagers come out to hear Coach Tom Landry and Bill Glass and Josh McDowell. And, you know, I guess I'm preaching at myself here, Bert, but how about, folks, we, with God's help and for God's glory, how about we not stagger in unbelief? How about we do like Abraham and be, as verse 20 says, strong in faith and give glory to God? And let's, in our mind, be fully persuaded, yes, no doubt about it, what God promises, God will do. Abraham had that kind of faith, and we can, and I think we should, too.
Amen. Some of the most wonderful words you'll know is, He is able. God is able. He's able to perform it. He is able. Abraham got a hold of that, and as you read Job, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're probably in the same era as Job. Most folks think he was at the period of the patriarchs, and having that knowledge of God and knowing that my Redeemer lives and I'll see Him one day, and here, because of that, Him knowing God is able to perform it. We may not understand it. We may not can even see through it, but God is able. He is that man that is able to deliver what He has promised. And He did for Abraham when he was nearly 100 years old. His wife, 90 years old, right at it. She would conceive and bear the promised child that God had promised them years ahead. But while he was waiting, he kept his face turned toward God. Now, Alex, I think that's what it talks about here in verse 20. It has in the New King James, and if I looked at it as in the Greek, waver. In other words, okay, it didn't mean he didn't go from side to side in the road, but he kept it between the ditches and say, God, I don't know exactly how, but I'm going towards you. It, you know, and that's exactly, you may not know how God's going to do it, but you can trust Him because He is able. That's the bottom line, and we need to stick to it, Alex.
Bert, can faith grow and be strengthened almost like, you know, if we exercise, we can get stronger in our muscles and our endurance. And, you know, whether it's like practicing a musical instrument and you can improve, or learning a new skill and you can get better at it, can our faith be exercised, implemented, and then grow and grow and strengthen?
The answer is yes. And I want to, since we're talking about Abraham, let's talk about him. In chapter 12 of Genesis, he was asked to leave his father and go to a land that I'll show you. He did that. But in chapter 22, after the promise had been given to him, he was taught to go to Mount Moriah and there offer his son. And if you read that account, it says, your only son. He really put it to him. He was reminding him again and again that Isaac was his only son. Isaac is the one. There's none other. And go and offer him. Now, notice what did. He didn't say to do such a thing in chapter 12, but he did it in 22. Our faith grows. We go from faith to faith. And I just want to tell you, I do believe God operates in that way in our lives. To whom much is given, much is required. So when we understand that God is able to do this, it helps me to know God's able to do that He has promised. So, Alex, yes, your faith in God control. Now, it's not faith in yourself. It's not faith, oh, look at me, I'm believing God. No, it's not that. It's God. That's the whole idea. It Amen. Is God, and that's who He is. And I'm bringing it up again, how faith and God's glory, they grow together. The more faith, the more glory we give to God. The greater things He asks us to do by faith, and He is able, the greater glory He receives. So, Alex, we want to give Him glory by faith.
Amen. And folks, be on the lookout for the steps of faith that God is asking you to take as you grow and not only your knowledge of the Lord and his faithfulness, but the fruit you're going to bear and how he wants to use you. I'm talking about believers now. You're saved. I'm assuming you're saved. You're a born-again believer. But even as a Christian, in obedience, God is going to call you to take steps of faith. And I mean, my goodness, taking Isaac up on Mount Moriah and to sacrifice Isaac. But you remember there was a lamb caught in the thorns. And as many have preached, on the mountains of Moriah, centuries later, there would be yet another thorn-crowned lamb on those mountains. But here's the thing. Maybe God is calling you to take a step of faith and trust God with your finances or serve in your church in some way. And maybe the thought of singing in the praise team is very intimidating, or serving on a committee. But Bert, years and years ago, I went to a Billy Graham gathering for young evangelists. And Billy Graham said, when you get home, get on your knees and say, God, what is my next assignment? And I did that. I really did, because Billy Graham said, do it. And and thus began our youth apologetics conferences, Truth for a New Generation. And I'm borrowing from the great Billy Graham here, but folks, maybe you need to get in your quiet place, your secret place where you get alone with God, and literally get down on your knees and just say, Lord, what is my next assignment? And I believe he'll tell you. I truly do.
Amen. He really does. He leads, and it's an old song, he leads his children alone, A-L-O-N-E. He along, he leads them along the way, A-L-O-N-G. He leads them along the way. He'll not leave you alone, but he leads you along. I love that. I nearly got it mixed up. Hope I straightened it out. But anyway, verse 23 and 24 and 25 finishes this. After it was accounted to him for righteousness, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Hear that. That mm-hmm. faith for Abraham, and Abraham's faith, who did it benefit? Alex, not just Abraham, not just Sarah, not just Isaac, but what?
Everybody.
Everyone. And that is it. He says it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. There's where that resurrection comes in.
Amen.
We were talking about it. Now, let me make one more, and I'll throw it back to you. That word imputed, these are the 10th and 11th time that word has been used in chapter 4, putting it to their account. That's the whole idea. So it was imputed to us. Alex, he raised up Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. What a victorious Savior we have.
Amen. Amen. And verse 24, but for us also, to whom it, what is the it? Righteousness. That's the it here that is going to be imputed if we work, or spend money? No, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Verse 25, Jesus, now who is this? Who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In verse 25 of Romans 4, you've got the substitutionary death of Jesus, the physical resurrection of Jesus. So do you believe these things, folks? Here's what it is. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God, as he said? Of course. Jesus said that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And John 8:24, by the way, you must believe in Christ's deity, because regarding his messiahship, that he is the Son of God, in John 8:24, Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So believe Jesus' claims about himself, that he is the Son of God, and he died, he rose again, he did. By the way, I was on the Hamilton Corner last night, and we interviewed Gary Habermas, the world expert on Christ's resurrection, and he has a 1,000-page book that releases today, Gary R. Habermas, on the historical proof of the resurrection. And so this happened. Jesus rose from the dead, and like Abraham, had faith in God and God's promises. If you have faith in Jesus and what he did for you, then you can be saved. And that's why you can get to verse 1 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, in light of all this, therefore, being justified, made right in the sight of God through faith, we have peace with God. Hey, folks, that is worth more than the universe itself. Peace with God.
Justification in chapter 4, verse 25, and he has it here and introduces it once again, but then in chapter 5, he expands it. That's what he does. And this is what makes Romans so effective. It leads, okay, we see how he got that, but what does this lead to? This leads to what? Two things that you get by being justified in verses 1 and 2. One is peace with God, and Alex, you have already said it. How much is that worth? Everything. But also in verse 2, you'll see you have access by faith. You remember the middle wall or partition was torn down. It was torn in two from top to bottom that we have access to the Father. Now, listen to this. You're at peace with God. There's no enmity between you and God anymore because you have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, and therefore you've become a child of God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding, it just saturates your life beyond measure. And then because of that, verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and listen to this, and rejoice in hope of what? The glory of God. Alex, have you seen in this, the everything, especially chapter 4, now going into chapter 5, what Paul wants this to do? All the acts of God, and then our response to him, as you said earlier, in creation and in redemption, and we respond to that, it leads to our benefit and to his glory. Hallelujah. Mm. What a Savior. And that's why you need to be saved today, for your benefit and also for the glory of God. Well, we're going to take phone calls, and that number, if you have a Bible question, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We would love to hear your Bible question today.
Are you a new small group leader looking for a strong curriculum? Even if you've been a leader for years, there's always a need for tools to help you as you help others deepen their love for God and their Bible knowledge. AFA Stream is a great resource. With topics covering biblical worldview training, godly marriage, and more, you'll have access to some of the best teaching available. And if you're a Great Commission partner, you open up even more. Visit stream.afa.net today. stream.afa.net. Have you wanted to take your family to Kentucky to visit the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, but just never took the time? Don't put it off any longer. Let 2025 be the year you check that off the list. In fact, you can make it an even more memorable trip when you join AFA at the Ark October 30th and 31st. On Thursday, you'll get transportation for a tour of the Creation Museum, and Friday will take you for a tour of the Ark Encounter. But that's just the beginning. Expand your knowledge of creation with a special dinner presentation on Thursday by Answers in Genesis astronomer Dr. Danny Faulkner. Friday, Dr. Georgia Purdom, Answers in Genesis Vice President of Educational Content, will help you dig deeper into the Bible. And Friday evening, enjoy dinner and a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Wesley Wildman, Vice Presidents of American Family Association. Visit afa.net/events today and click on AFA at the Ark. afa.net/events and click on AFA at the Ark.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, so glad you're listening. Here's the number if you've got a Bible question. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. While you call in with your Bible question, hey, let me ask you to pray for our summer camps. They're coming up quickly. We're doing camps all over the nation, and the website is equipretreat.org. Equipretreat.org. Now listen to this, Bert. We've got near Richmond, Virginia, first time we've done Virginia, there is a camp. It's called Camp Pienka Tank. And it's a lovely camp. I toured it last fall. We rented it for the first week in August. And our cost is several hundred dollars, but here's what we're going to do. And I've not told this anywhere else. But if you have a youth, grades 7 through 12, and we talk about biblical worldview, we talk about apologetics, we do all the fun camp stuff, I'll be there. Probably have Angie with me at this camp too. But listen, no child turned away. Whatever you can pay, if you can pay the $200, that's great. But if you can't pay one penny, this is how much we want to minister to the teens there in Central Virginia. And so go to the website, equipretreat.org. And folks, pray for us, because what we're trying to do in all of our summer camps, kids get saved, kids get equipped, we teach them how to stand strong for their Christian faith. And that's how I covet your prayers for the summer of 2025.
What's the name of that camp?
It's an Indian word, Camp Pienka Tank, and it's run by the Virginia Baptist, but it's not far from Richmond, and you can get complete information at equipretreat.org.
Okay, go to that camp. I guarantee you, you'll love it. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got people that have called in with their questions. Let's see. Michael from Georgia. Michael, thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing? I heard y'all last week say that y'all was going to Israel. I'm going to go out on a limb and ask y'all to take me with you.
Go to wildmantours.com, I think it is.
Yes.
Also, I never heard y'all explain Jesus, the Son of God, that well. I commend you.
Okay. Well, let me, when I saw you, part of your question, and let me just say this on the Palm Sunday, and I'm introducing this, Alex. I think it's pretty good. Jesus came into town riding on the donkey, and everybody was saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, the Son of David. You know all of that? And yeah. Somebody in the crowd, a lot of somebodies, I think, said, who is this? And the answer was, oh, it's Jesus of Nazareth. But he's a lot more than just Jesus of Nazareth, isn't he?
Yes. He is God the Son, but the Son of God. Jesus didn't just speak for God, he spoke as God. He didn't just claim to represent the Lord, he claimed to be the Lord. And indeed, he is proven by the miracles, the fulfillment of prophecy. Bert, he controlled the elements, he could control the weather, but Jesus did what nobody else did. He could raise the dead and, in fact, resurrected himself. He is the Savior.
Amen. Do we have that song that we talked about? Here it is. Listen. Amen. We just couldn't resist that. I love that. I love that song, too. Thank you, Brent, for we came up with it. And so Brent got it going. So thank you. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Alex, they went away. They went to see, you know, try to trick in these young, we call them scribes. They called them lawyers. And they came back and they told those men that sent them, said, we've never heard a man speak like this man.
Yes.
And hallelujah. Nobody's like Jesus. Well, let's go to Indiana and talk to Kevin. Kevin, thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing well today.
Question I have for you is, at the end of Job, after all of his trials and when God recovered all of his wealth and he had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. They give us the names of the 3 daughters and not of the 7 sons. And also they said that those daughters were included in his inheritance, which I think is kind of unusual. Can you explain what that's about?
It is unusual. And talking about the 7 sons, it got to be changed a little bit where the oldest son at least get a double portion, you know, Alex, because he was take care of everything. But I think it describes what God has done for women. He elevates and has elevated women. You know, people say, oh, he's kept them. No, he elevated them, hasn't he?
He did. And yeah, this is in Job 42, 13 and following. He had seven sons and three daughters, and the names of the daughters are listed. And verse 15 says, and in all the land were no women found as fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Yeah, I don't completely know why the sons weren't listed, but the daughters were, and they were beautiful daughters. But you're right, Bert, the Bible, and especially in the oldest of the Old Testament books, the book of Job, the status of women is elevated far above that of any other culture at the time. And so it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It really is. And Kevin, thank you for noticing things like there's some unique things besides what you find in the Bible, just like we're going through Romans. There's some unique things, and I call them hidden gems, that if you're not careful, you'll just, oh, that's interesting, and skip over them. Where he names these three daughters, how unusual, yes, but that shows you the God that we serve. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Those apostles was keeping away, but not Jesus. And so those of you that are listening today and think, well, I don't have anything in it, I don't have anything to offer, listen, it's you. He loves you, and we're praying you'd come to know him as Savior. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to TJ. TJ, thank you for calling.
Thanks for having me. My question is, the exception clause on divorce in Matthew, does it allow for remarriage without condemnation? And does it go for women and men?
Okay, TJ. Alex, this is one of those areas that we've, you know, people come across differently than anything else. Why would you get a divorce if you were not free? What does that mean, free? Is there a free to whatever or free to do the God's will?
Oh. Well, let me say this. Marriage in God's eyes is a covenant, but when there has been a breaking of that covenant, the innocent party is no longer bound, you know? Now, let me say this. The Bible is clear that God hates divorce, but divorce is not the unforgivable sin. It would be better if divorce never happened, but in a fallen world of sinners, it does. And so, Bert, Jesus said adultery breaks the marriage bond. And I would say, and I say this cautiously, and feel free to disagree, but when the marriage covenant has been broken, the person is free to remarry.
I agree, but let me share this with you. Let's bring it in. Work on the marriage you're in. Do the marriage that you are in, if it's your second marriage, because and the first marriage may have been your fault, okay? And you've remarried, and now you're reading the scriptures, and someone could say, oh, man, I feel horrible. Okay, say, God, hey, I was out of your will when I was acting this way, and I did wrong. It was sin. Lord, please forgive me. But right now, I'm in this marriage, and I'm in this marriage that you want me to be the father, the husband, rather, and you want me to be the wife. The marriage that you're in, I want to tell you, work hard at it. Alex, I know I heard what you're going to have Dr. Chapman talk about two important things in marriage. I don't know what his will be, but I want to tell you one of them, and it's being intentional. You got to be intentional. You can't be careless. You've got to work at being intentional of communicating. And I just want to say that's difficult for men and women. We're on two different planets nearly. And men, it says we think like waffles. We have our areas, and wives can ask men, what are you thinking of? And we'll say nothing. A woman doesn't understand that. But men have a nothing box that we can just let our mind be nothing. But women, they say spaghetti. I don't think so. I think they're more like, and I say this in beauty, a spider web. Everything's connected. Everything is connected. So, but be intentional. Alex, I don't know. After Dr. Chapman has that conference that you're having him to speak at. I want to know what those two things he said were. So,
amen.
But tell us when that's going to be, by the way, real quick.
Oh, thank you very much. That's going to be June 15. By the way, folks, if you happen to be in the area of Myrtle Beach, it's just the greatest resort area, and we've rented the Greg Rolls Legacy Theater. Greg is a great Christian musician. And so June 15, 7 o'clock, Gary Chapman. And I call him America's relationship doctor because, Bert, I happen to believe with his teaching on the love languages, Gary Chapman has probably been used by God to save more marriages than just about any author. But, yes, June 15, and the complete information is at alexmcfarland.com/conversations.
And let me just say, if you come across any of Dr. Gary Chapman's books, buy them. There are some authors that, let me just tell you, if you find out they've authored a book, buy it, and he is one of them. TJ, we hope that answers your question. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Chris. Chris, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys, I just want to ask you a question. In Acts 17, verse 11, Paul talks about that there were more noble men than those in Thessalonica that searched the Scriptures. In John 5:39, Jesus talks about searching the Scriptures. In Luke 4:16, Jesus teaches in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, my question is, the Luke and Acts didn't come out till the year 90 A.D. So, what Bible was, it wasn't a King James Jesus was carrying around underneath his arms, neither the disciples and all that. But if you look back in Isaiah 61:10, Isaiah talks about being covered with salvation. And then if you look at Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then if you look at Abraham, he was righteousness before the Lord. And if you look at the Gentile nations, those nations that come off of Isaac, you know, wasn't all that stuff back there in that Bible?
Okay. Hey, Chris, listen. Scriptures. Jesus talked a bit the Scriptures. The other I'd put in, the two on the road to Emmaus, Jesus opened up them the Scriptures, and he taught them about himself. Amen? Isn't that what we're talking about?
I would say so, yeah. Absolutely. And you know, Luke said, having had perfect understanding from above. And that's a Greek word that's the same in John chapter 3, when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born from above, born again. The Greek word is anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N. So when he said that he had perfect understanding from above, the Holy Spirit gave those words to Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts. And scholars date these at some time from 80 to 90 A.D., but, Bert, you know, the Scriptures, the Old Testament, Genesis through Malachi, then you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you've got the book of Acts, you've got then Paul's letters begin, Romans and following, and then the canon of Scripture was completed with the book of Revelation around 95 to 96 A.D. And you know, it's interesting, Bert, and I won't take too long, but I was on the radio last night with Gary Habermas, I mentioned. And what's interesting is you've got in the what were called the post-apostolic fathers. Now, the apostles were like John and Peter and Paul. They saw the risen Jesus. But then the followers of John and the apostles, like Chrysostom was a follower of the apostle John.
Yeah.
These post-apostolic leaders seem to understand that the Bible was now complete and that the canon of Scripture was closed. So there's not more Scriptures being added. And not only historically, but thematically, the book of Revelation is the perfect final book of the Bible, isn't it?
It really is. And when you see all those put together, and how God orchestrated. And here's what you do. You trust God to give it. You trust God to collect it. And you trust God to preserve it. Those three things are so important, Alex. And yes. I think we got all that God wanted us to get and to know. It doesn't answer every question we may have, but we got what God wanted us to know and we needed to know. And then, as you said about Luke, the Holy Spirit of God gave him that perfect understanding. Today, the Holy Spirit of God can help you who are listening to get into the Word of God and help you to lead to all truth as you compare Scripture with Scripture and let the Scripture interpret Scripture. Isn't that the best way to interpret Scripture? Let Scripture do it for us, Alex?
Line upon line, precept upon precept, because the Bible, it illuminates itself. It doesn't contradict itself nowhere. But you study the Scriptures, and as W.A. Criswell said, on every page, you'll find Jesus. Well, this is Exploring the Word. Bert, it's been a good show, and it's been a great day in the book of Romans, isn't it?
It really is. And we will start in chapter 5 Monday. Much more. Just look for those two words. Much more.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.